Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Coffee and Devotions. This is where every day you and I, we get together, we have a little bit of coffee, we get into God's Word, and we grow in our love for the Lord together. And this year, 2022, hopefully, we'll make it from the book of Acts through the book of Philemon. We're at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the first half of the chapter this morning. Let's have some coffee, we'll pray, and we'll get into God's Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for what a joy and a blessing it is to get to come to your word. We thank you that we don't get to make these things up or only read what we want. But Father, you're the one who has things in store for us. And so, Lord, we would pray that we would have minds to understand it, hearts to believe it, and wills to follow it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here we go. So we are at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we'll be doing the first, 18 verses. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the first 18 verses. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine me is this. Do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord, and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working? Whoever goes to war at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit? Or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? Do I say these things as a mere man? Or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, "You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads the grain." Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you know, or do you not know, that those who minister the holy things eat of the holy things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. But I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things that it should be done so to me. For it would be better for me to die than that I should make my boasting void. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will I have been entrusted with a stewardship, what is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. Well, we need to ask ourselves, A, what's this about? B, what's the best verse to summarize this? And C, what are we called to do in response to these words? So here in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul is continuing on in what he picked up in chapter 8 with liberty and rights. There were people in the church in chapter 8 who were saying that they knew that idols were absolutely nothing, and so they could go to a temple and eat the meat and not worry about it at all. And they had a right to do this, and they were going to stand on their rights. They had a liberty to do what they wished to do. And Paul says, you're trampling over the conscience of your weaker brother, and you're sinning against Christ himself. And so he uses chapter 9, and it's going to take us 2 days to get through this. So hop back on here on Monday, and we'll finish this chapter. But when he's bringing this up, he's telling them to look to himself as an example, right? He has a right that he doesn't exercise. He has a liberty that he doesn't use. And he uses this right and this liberty to show the people that just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. No, you should do the most loving thing. And what is Paul holding back from? He's holding back from getting paid. He says, you know, look, I have a right to take along a wife. That's what the brothers of Jesus did, you know, James and Judas. By the way, if you don't think that Jesus had brothers, you got to reconcile that with Mark chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 13, but that's a whole nother story. But Jesus's brothers get to do it. Peter, Cephas himself, he has a wife and she goes with him. But is it just Barnabas and I who don't get to take along a wife? No, it's a liberty that they're choosing not to take. He says, you know, you're just supporting me, but you could be supporting a whole family. I know that I'm an apostle. I've seen the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm working in his vineyard. He sent me out to go do this work, but I'm not getting paid for it. And this is one of these really interesting things, right? He says, it's not because I shouldn't get paid for it. Actually, it's the exact opposite, right? He goes to Deuteronomy and he says, don't muzzle the ox that treads the grain. Is this really just talking about oxes? No, it's talking about way more than just oxen, right? It's talking about ministers of the gospel, right? If somebody's doing work, you need to pay them for the work they're doing. And he says, if I'm doing spiritual work amongst you, shouldn't you be supporting me materially? He says, if somebody is preaching the gospel, they should live from the gospel, but he's not going to, and here's why. Paul doesn't want to be a stumbling block. Some people might find it offensive. So, you know, he says, no, I'm not going to get paid. I'll work my tail off. I will go and I will labor and I'll make tents and I'll go to the marketplace and I'll do hard manual labor and I'll use the skill that I've learned to be able to earn money so that I can preach the gospel freely. He says this is his boast, right? He's able to go everywhere and anywhere, and he's able to say, A, he didn't build on anybody else's foundation, and B, he didn't charge anyone when he went. He was willing to receive gifts when they sent them. You can go pick up the book of Philippians. Actually, we'll do that in a couple weeks, and we'll see that he has no problem receiving, but he's not going to say, well, you need to pay for this. Now, he has things to say in the pastoral epistles about that. But the point here isn't that, you know, you should or shouldn't pay ministers. It's clear from 1 Corinthians 9, you should. I'm very thankful for many of you who are in our congregation who are probably watching this today and have paid my salary. I am very thankful for you. But Paul's point is, he's going to love the weaker brother. If somebody might stumble over the gospel because they think, is this guy just in it for the money? Paul says, you know, I won't even work for money. I won't even do this. Even though I have a right, just like if I planted a vineyard, I got a right to go pick grapes from the vineyard. I'm not going to do it. Even though I have this inherent right because I'm the one who's sowing the seed, and so I should be able to go and enjoy the harvest, he says, it's not going to happen. I'm going to suspend my right so that I don't put a stumbling block in front of somebody to receive Christ. So that's what this is really getting at. Is even though we might have rights or be able to do things or have the liberty to do things, doesn't mean that that's what we ought to do. So we need to ask ourselves, B, what's the best verse to summarize this? Well, let's see here. You know, I don't have my normal Bible with me. I left it at the house on accident. I'm trying to figure out what I would underline here. I think I would underline verse 12. If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. That's probably what I would underline. What would you underline in your Bible? What would you put as what you think is the best verse? Last see calling. What are we called to do in response to these words? Well, let me ask you, what is it that has been a liberty? We especially, if you're in America, we love liberty, right? We love being able to say, it's a free country, I'll do what I want to, right? If you ever talk to a seven-year-old. Yeah, sure, you can do what you want. But are you doing what's loving? Paul takes the application that we talked about yesterday in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, when he talked about not eating meat sacrificed for to idols because of the brother with a weaker conscience. And he takes that principle and he shows how he uses it in his own life to not work or not charge a pastoral salary as he's doing missionary work. What liberty have you used in your life that's actually hurt people? Is there someone you need to go and apologize to? Is there something in your life right now that is offensive to people? And you keep holding on to it because it's your right. It's your liberty. It's what you want to do. And in the meantime, you're trampling down the church. You know, churches are ripped apart because of this type of stuff. Quite legitimately, you know, somebody says, I have a right to say what I want in the congregational meeting. Yeah, but you don't have it might not be the most loving thing to say whatever you want in a congregational meeting. I have a right to criticize this person or that person. Yeah. Yeah, you got a mouth. You're more than welcome to say what you want. But that doesn't mean what you're going to say is edifying. What is it in your life that you can forsake as a liberty to show a sacrificial love for your brother or sister? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that the best example of this sacrificial love is Jesus Christ, who put away the rights of heaven and you became flesh. As the giver of the law, you came under the law. And you purchased freedom for us. God, we pray that we would not then take that freedom and use it against our brothers and sisters. But we pray that you would teach us the law of love. Father, please, give us a heart of sacrifice. Give us a heart of gentleness. Care for us this day in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you today. May you walk in the love of Jesus Christ. And I'll see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon RP Church in rural Southeast Iowa. We pray that the message would be used by God to transform your faith and your life this week. If you'd like to get more information about us, feel free to go to the website, SharonRPC.org. We'd love to invite you to worship with us. Our worship time is 10 a.m. every Sunday at 25204 160th Avenue, Morning Sun, Iowa, 52640. May God richly bless you this week.